All right. Well, like Peter said, my name is Sam, and I get to hang out with our middle schoolers and high schoolers every single Sunday, Tuesday, and that's been a great joy and privilege of mine to be able to do for a couple of years now. So this morning, though, I really want to continue our discussion around what it looks like for God to meet us in our pain and suffering. Now, I don't want to assume that everyone's on the same page in here with that, so I want to kind of give a little bit of a disclaimer that if that brings up really strong feelings for you and you're like, man, I'm not ready to confront how I feel about pain and suffering this morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, that's okay. I'm not like getting a kickback on every tear that's been shed this morning. There's no like arm twisting here. My goal isn't to have you all in tears by the end of our talk this morning, but I know as well that some of you are probably thinking like, what's this guy gonna teach me about pain and suffering? He doesn't look like he's traveled the roads that I have. He doesn't look like he may have the years of experience that I have, the mental Rolodex of ability to scroll back through some of the pain and suffering that you may have experienced. And I would say you're wrong because I'm a Packers fan and we are most acquainted with misery. I'm a man of pain and suffering and very familiar with it. And as I look out into the group of guys here today, I can see team affiliations that we would be able to commiserate with. So I'll see you guys after and we could talk about our failed playoff runs together. But like I said, this brings up strong emotions subconsciously. You're kind of probably thinking like, man, what's this guy gonna say? But seriously though, this morning, my goal is not to educate you on the process of pain and suffering. More or less, it's to remind you that your pain and suffering is significant to God and it matters and he sees it. I kind of want to remind us of what we talked about last week, but first I want to remind us of kind of some of the things that we do traditionally in order to cope with pain and suffering, that is deny, detach, and drug. But before we get into those, I'll give you a little self-disclosure so that you can see that, like, man, he's a human being that has walked the earth and encountered some pain and suffering as well. So when I was growing up, my family never got along. I'm not sure if yours was perfect, but mine was not. So oftentimes my mom and dad were not the most friendly with each other. Oftentimes I remember officers coming over to the house just to make sure that everyone was okay. And I remember vividly as a child going and closing the windows in the house just to make sure that nobody else heard what was going on inside the house. So that definitely formed me in quite a significant way. And as I look back, I go, yeah, that was definitely a pivotal experience that I had to do something with. And it was not deny, and it was not drug. Mostly it was detach. My preferred go-to method of dealing with pain and suffering in an unhealthy manner was detach. My parents separated for several times throughout their marriage. They're together now, and God's done a great job of healing a lot of what's going on. But one time specifically that I remember when they had separated was when I was about 16, and they separated for about 8 months-ish. During that time, my mom and my brother and I got to go live with my uncle in Wisconsin and his family. That was the first family that I went and I looked at and went, wow, that's what it's like to be a family. This is what it feels like to be safe. I remember my uncle bought us winter clothes because we were in Wisconsin. He opened up a room and there was two brand new beds, one for my brother and one for me. And then I just remember never wondering where the next meal was coming from, not, you know, having to fear about if the lights were going to be turned off on us. And then also having so much fun with their family and just seeing the peace and unity there was incredibly formational as well. And so as that happened, I was like, man, let's stay here forever. This is the greatest thing. This is so much fun. We're in Wisconsin. The Packers play every Sunday and I get to watch them. I don't have to like mess with anything in order to get to watch them. It was my dream. And then my mom told me, hey, we're going to go back to a place called Ocala, Florida. We're going to reunite with your dad around a local church and we're going to make our stand right there as a family. What should have been good news to me was like ripping something that I loved away from me. In my frame of reference, I was going back in to a war zone, not reuniting with old family and with original family. So what happened was my uncle dropped us off at the Milwaukee airport, which is not the Taj Mahal of airports. I don't know if you've ever been to the Milwaukee airport. It's not voted most likely for you to want to spend your vacation there. But as I walked in, we got dinner and we sat down, we got up. My uncle did the obligatory like hug. Hey, take care, Sam. Love you. You know, let us know if you guys ever need anything sort of vibe. And as I was walking away, I picked up the bags, right? Walked towards the gate or towards security. And my uncle goes, hey, Sam. And I didn't turn around. He's like, all right, well, take care, bud. And I remember the emotional lights shutting off in that moment. I knew if I turned around, I'd lose it at 16 years old. And so I'm like, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing it today. I picked up the bags and I just went. And that is when I remember, and I like a really, really clear moment of when I just went, nope, I'm gonna detach. I'm gonna turn off the emotional lights so that I'm able to get through this. And so as we get into this morning, I want to remind us the framework that we have about the conversation from last week and kind of get us into the space where we can discuss how we process pain and suffering this week as well. Last week, as I said, three unhelpful ways to process pain and suffering. First, we deny it. This can mask itself as faith. Hey, God's got a plan. We're moving through. I'm either up or I'm getting up. I'm not down. I'm either up or I'm getting up. That was one that I heard a lot growing up. We focus on what you can control, like, hey, block everything else out. We're okay. Everything's fine. We detach. This can look like cutting ourselves off from pain, kind of the story that I mentioned earlier. This can look like saying, hey, like, it is what it is. Can't do anything about it. Not a big deal. Let's move through it. We can drug it. Sometimes that's actual drugs or substances, but oftentimes in our world, it's much more like scrolling into oblivion, or it's hobbies, or what we would call modern day distractions. It is, and it can be, I want to, again, a little disclaimer, it can be a helpful tool to employ one of those things every once in a while, but when it becomes the only tool in your tool belt, that's when it becomes really, really destructive. When it's specifically impeding the healing process, that's when those become really, really detrimental to us. Think of it in terms of a wound, right? If one of us gets a paper cut this morning, we're not going to go to the ER and go, I need to process my feelings and I got to figure out what's going on because there was a little drop of blood. Like, no, we're going to let the body do its work. We're going to put a Band-Aid on and we're going to go on with our day because we're guys and that's what we do. But if it was a significant wound, if something actually happened, we blew out our knee, we blew out our hip, there's an ACL, MCL tear, we can't just go, well, you know, that didn't happen. We cannot say, you know what's next? I got something coming up and I can't afford to be out right now. We cannot just simply say to ourselves, well, give me something for the pain because I'm really busy and I'm really important and I got to get through this. So I got to be able to keep using this body part that is now obliterated. We would not say that. What I love about last week is that Jesus felt like he was in a place that was safe with trusted friends. He brought his whole self before his Father and said the phrase, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. That is a big statement coming from the Son of God. But he found a group of people and an audience with his Father and went, this is where I'm at. I'm in some major pain and major suffering. So our video last week mentioned that our goal should be to have God meet us in our pain and suffering. I know that's the last thing some of us want to do. That's oftentimes the last thing that I want to do, if I'm honest. I don't want to have God meet me in my pain and suffering. I want to think my way out of it. I want to work through it. I want to push it away and say I'll deal with it later, but then I never do. I want to read another book on pain and suffering. I want to be able to go to a group and talk about pain and suffering. I don't actually want to deal with it and sit through it and work with it with God and with others. I just want to kind of think about it abstractly. And that can be helpful at first, but that cannot be my only tool to approach the problem of pain and suffering or the instance of pain and suffering. I'm not a car guy. I don't know if you can tell that by the everything about me. I meant to learn about cars, but then I forgot. My buddies grew up knowing much more about cars than I did. So when my car would break down when I was, you know, in my early 20s, 22, 23 years old, I would call them over and say, hey, I'll give you US dollars, and if you want, I'll buy your beer for you. Can you put in my alternator? It's okay. They were all over 21. No things that were illegal happened. We're good. It wasn't wise, but it was legal. So they would come over and they would fix my car. They'd put in alternators and brakes and help me figure out how to do an oil change. And as that happened, what happened? I learned how to deal with car problems, at least a little bit, or I learned theoretically how to do that. But the approach to taking pain and suffering and saying, I want to intellectualize it and I just want to read more about it, I don't want to actually engage with it and give my whole self to God, is a lot like learning a lot about cars, but then never opening up the hood of the car and going, okay, let's get to work. Let's figure out what's going on. It doesn't actually connect. It doesn't actually work. So as I wrap up here, I kind of want to talk about one of my all-time favorite characters, people in the Bible. Y'all know him. His name is Thomas, because he got met by Jesus in one of the all-time greatest moments of his own personal disillusionment and pain and suffering. I honestly think Thomas gets a bad reputation sometimes, but if you remember, he was skeptical when he heard the news of the resurrection, because a couple days previous, he had just seen everything he loved and hoped in and invested his entire existence in and planned his life around be crucified, absolutely publicly shamed and humiliated in front of him and the entire community. And so he was disillusioned and he was in some serious pain and suffering. Our text suggests that he was willing to sit with his friends and wait. It doesn't say this, but I would imagine that during those 7 days that he waited, they told some stories, they probably laughed a little bit, they probably cried, and they probably worshiped as well. They probably sang some songs. But then 7 days later, Thomas is still grieving, still in pain, still not better, and what happens? In walks Jesus. And instead of saying, you know, if you would have had a little bit more faith, maybe you would have believed like the ladies did. Instead of saying, like, you know what, if you would have read a book, Thomas, we wouldn't be here. If you would have just trusted me, this wouldn't all be happening. You know why you're disillusioned? It's your fault, because the way you grew up and the things that happened to you, and you can't ever overcome those. So I'm here to fix that. Let's figure this out. We got things to do, and you're holding up the whole machine. Instead, Jesus walks through the door and goes, hey, I'm right here. I'm here to meet with you. You need hands in my side, hands in the holes of my hand. I got you. I'm here for you today. And that story is so significant to me because it demonstrates a God who is willing to meet us in our pain and suffering. And I think sometimes as guys, we just don't genuinely believe that. Like, we intellectually believe that, but we don't see God as the one who's walking through a wall going, what do you guys need? I'm right here. So that is the thing that I want to kind of call our attention to as we start to discuss what it looks like for God to meet us in our pain and suffering. Is not the fact that we need more education necessarily around how to deal with it. I think we do, but I think we really need to understand that God is willing to meet us in our pain and suffering, that our pain and suffering is, in fact, significant to God. He's not here to shame you about it. He's not here to blame you for it. Sure, some of it may have been caused by decisions you've made, but he's here to deal with us and our whole selves right now. So with that in mind, as you go to groups, I'd love for y'all to work through the following questions. And if you think these questions stink, go your own direction. You guys have been doing this for a long time. I trust you guys. You can be the pastors of your own groups this morning. Your small group leader or table leader, I'm sure, has a good pulse on where you guys are going. But the first question that I'd love us to get to is, how do people you admire handle their emotional pain? How's it gone for them? This is to kind of stir up the idea of, oh yeah, that's why I deal with it that way. Not to shame or blame our ancestors or our mentors or our parents or anything like that, but to just kind of get an understanding of, oh yeah, that's maybe why I do what I do. Second question, which response to pain is your default? Deny, detach, or drug? Why? Third, if you truly believe Jesus would meet you in your pain, what would you do differently? And fourth, I think the question that probably demands a little bit more time. So if you got to question one and four, that would probably be great. It says this, let's try to make a plan. Who could you sit with in your pain? When and where could that happen safely and consistently? Kind of the action step and the takeaway for this morning. I love you guys. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into groups. Jesus, thank you so much for the ability to meet us in our pain and suffering, that it is significant to you, and you're not here to shame us or blame us for that. But God, I would ask you to help us feel the genuine invitation extended from you to meet you there in our moments of pain and weakness and disillusionment. I ask you for that, and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.